You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Oliver Kalb. Oliver, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Oliver, we're going to talk about Bellows and the new album, The Rose Gardener. So tell me a little bit about just when the album came out, and your band is Bellows, correct?
Yeah, yeah. The album came out about a month ago on a label that we just signed with called Top Shelf Records. It's the fourth full-length album from Bellows, which is my solo recording project, but also a full rock band that I tour with.
And so I know we're going to play a track from it. We're going to start off with Rosebush. I'd like to just get right into it so the listeners can hear a little bit about your music. Is there anything you want to say about this song, Rosebush, before I play it?
Yeah, this song sort of is the introduction of one of the central metaphors on the album, which is about a rose gardener trying to tend a rose bush in the dead of winter, sort of like a futile task, about trying to keep something alive that seems doomed to sort of fail. So this is the first introduction to that metaphor on the album. It was also one of the first songs I wrote on the album and one I feel pretty proud of.
Okay, let's cue it up. Here it is, The Rose Gardener. You said you're very proud of that song, and it is a beautiful song. It has a very unusual ending too. Let's talk a little bit about who's on that. You wrote this song. You said it was one of the first you wrote for the album.
Yeah. So I've been writing songs for over a decade now, and one of the ways I sort of trick my creative juices into flowing is doing these month-long song-a-day projects. So I was writing a song every day for the month of August in 2016, and this was one of the songs I did during that project. One of the interesting things about doing a project like that is you have no time to, like, second guess ideas, and especially with lyrical ideas, you sometimes end up with concepts that feel a little like abstract or fantastical because you can't kind of embellish them with a lot of, you know, thought. So the image of the rose bush was, I think, first just kind of an abstract image that I wrote, you know, just in one sitting in the Song a Day project, but that then I found myself coming back to in the months after that initial project and wanting to sort of flesh out. So this was kind of the first thing I wrote for the album that that felt like it was kind of guiding me towards the lyrical metaphor that the album carries.
And let's talk about the band, because the production of that's really interesting too. Tell me a little about how that was produced. Is that the band that you're touring with now? Was there a lot happening in the studio in terms of you know, electronics or other digital effects and editing in the production?
Yeah. So although we record, we tour as a full scale rock band, I actually self-record all of our music. So for this album, I set up a home studio in Woodstock, New York, where I was living last winter, and recorded almost all the instruments myself, other than the drums, which were done by Felix Walworth, who's the touring drummer in the band, and the kind of choral vocals that come in at the end, which were by Gabriel Smith, who is another touring member of the band. But all the guitars, synthesizers, pretty much everything else is just me layering instrument on instrument, which is has been the kind of way that I've recorded all the Bellows albums for the last 8 years or so.
So let's talk about that process a little bit. You're layering instrument on instrument in your studio in Woodstock. Are all the instruments recorded separately and then you're putting them together, or are some of them being played together?
Yeah, every instrument is recorded separately. None of it's live, which is kind of different than the way that most rock bands record with, you know, four musicians in a room. So basically the way I do it is I usually start with guitar, usually acoustic guitar, and record it to a metronome and kind of layer instruments on top of that in kind of an experimental way where I try to sort of hear like the way that a full scale band would embellish it, or hear it as a producer and try to kind of arrange the song from just the bare skeleton, just by, you know, layering sometimes dozens or even 100 tracks into a song.
So let's hear one more track and talk about that too. This next track is Stupidest Thing. Do you want to say anything about that before I play it?
Yeah, this song in the sequence of the record comes right after Rosebush, and it's meant to kind of be a bit of a sonic counterpoint to the sort of bright up-tempo feeling of Rosebush. This is sort of like a darker moment on the album sonically.
Okay, let's hear it. We're about to hear Stupidest Thing from The Rose Gardener.
It might have been the stupidest thing to get so mad, so I wanted to ask you how you keep in the middle as we walk through a thunderstorm. Compromise and settle.
Thank you, Oliver, for that. So yeah, wonderful song, really interesting, and also, yeah, that ending sounds very layered. There's a lot going on there. Maybe I'm hearing some of what you were saying. There seems to be a really richness, a real density to the ending that I can't imagine could be done live. There's that's a lot happening in your studio, isn't it? In the layering process you were talking about?
Right. Yeah. So, this song, in particular was kind of an experiment for me in vocal processing. This is the first song I've ever recorded where I used a vocoder. So the song starts out with this kind of vocoder introduction, that was meant to evoke the feeling of kind of a Greek chorus, like introducing the concepts of the song in a kind of enigmatic or mysterious voice that wasn't my own. And then the song, takes place in my natural voice, but then ends with a sort of a vocal solo in the same processed tone of voice that kind of layers this one syncopated melody over a changing set of chords that I felt like would create some feeling of ungainliness or unsteadiness that felt like it was in keeping with the lyrical themes of the song.
That's so interesting, and of course there's also, the lyrics are really interesting on there. They seem like they're exploring a lot of introspective ideas. They're not just they're not only metaphors, but we're talking about ego, sense of self, and a kind of I don't want to read into it too much, but in part a kind of self-discovery or self-mastery. Is that appropriate to say?
Right. Yeah. The song is reflecting on sort of a caustic and challenging time in life, recalling the ways that the narrator had to kind of bend and break aspects of himself to kind of cope with a difficult situation. So the lyrics are kind of a zoomed out vision or memory of a difficult moment that sort of break away, from words at the end to just become this kind of vocal solo just in, vowel sounds, which felt like it was necessary for a song that was so steeped in a kind of angst that it felt like it wanted to just kind of explode into something nonverbal. I as a lyricist, I try to think about moments when lyrics can actually detract from the meaning of a song and, let my voice, be an instrument that isn't only for transmission of lyrics, but also, musical ideas as well.
Right. Yeah, that's clear. And so to zoom out and step back a little bit, I know that your band's touring now, I guess, and promoting this album and playing live. To go back a few years, maybe post high school, were you making music then in high school? Is that where it began?
Yeah, I started writing songs in high school and around my sophomore year. They were mostly like silly joke songs at first. I think because I felt sort of embarrassed to share like real feelings lyrically. And in high school, there's kind of a jocular sort of culture of not really expressing yourself, especially among high school boys. So I think it took me a few years after starting to write songs to kind of allow myself to take lyric writing seriously in particular and see it as a form of, poetry or art making in itself. So Bellows started in my first year of college. And that felt like the first moment where I sort of took songwriting and self-recording seriously as, something I wanted to pursue and really hone, self-recording and self-production. So it took a few years to.
And where did you go to college? Where did you go to school?
I went to Bard in upstate New York.
So that's a great school for the arts. I interview a lot of artists. A lot of artists are, of course, at Bard. It's a really interesting school. So I'd love to ask you a little more about that experience, because it sounds like you developed a lot artistically there. That's when Bellows began, and you're recording more. Were you in the music program there? Were you taking composition courses there, or no?
No, I was actually an English major, and I felt like the things I was studying as an English major ended up informing Bellows a lot more than I think a classical music education would have. I'm interested in studying music in a formal way, but at least for the music I make, which is sort of rock or pop or even folk music, the sort of baseline level of knowledge I had as a guitarist felt like it was sufficient for expressing what I wanted to as a musician, but that what I was learning as an English major and the types of kind of analysis of poetry and of novels felt like they moved my lyrics in a place that I wouldn't have been able to take them if I hadn't, studied literature in a serious way.
Yeah, that's so interesting. But you could, of course, take it. A little that I know about Bard, they do have composition courses. It's not just classical. You could have been composing there in the manner you're composing, really. I mean, or correct me if I'm wrong. Was that? And I admire your choice, and so that's why I'm asking more questions about this. It sounds like a conscious choice not to take composition courses there, because I would imagine they did have courses that could have, supported what Bellows was doing in your composition.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think if I could do it over again now, I probably would take composition courses. But at the time, I was 18 years old and had For some reason, a mental separation that I wanted to make between music, which felt like it was something unacademic for me. I listened to a lot of punk bands in high school, and even though my music isn't punk, I think I came from a kind of punk ethos that said that, you know, knowing too much was something that could ruin a creative spark, which is something I no longer believe. But I think at the time I really wanted to sort of separate my academic mind from music. And that as I've gotten older, I've become more interested in musical theory and, you know, more complex compositions. But when I was 18, I think I sort of wanted to keep it in that sort of punk simplistic mindset.
And so after Bard, you're an English major working, you know, in your degree. After you left there, or maybe I should ask you what your thesis was on, because that might be significant, or is it?
Yeah, I wrote my thesis on Cormac McCarthy, the sort of Western author. I wrote about narrative disintegration in his works. He has a lot of novels like Blood Meridian, where the narrative seems to sort of like crumble or fall apart as the violence of the world kind of takes over even the writing itself. So I wrote about the sort of pairing of kind of like linguistic or, you know, like structural ideas about his writing with, you know, the ways that the narrative violence kind of seemed to crumble even the language itself, which was something that interested me at the time.
So, you know, Bard sounds like such an interesting school. I say that just because I've interviewed a lot of artists that have been there. Was the kind of cross-disciplinary or was that activity there, environment, also, did that also add to your development in some way?
Yeah, it was a nice school to be at because it didn't feel like there were like cliques that were at odds with each other. You know, there's kind of like the trope of like, you know, jocks not getting along with, you know, nerds or something in schools, and there were no such dynamics at Bard. I booked shows for a while at an on-campus venue called the Root Cellar. That was an anarchist zine library, and it felt like the culture there was kind of an interesting diffusion between kids that were interested in radical politics and critical theory and sociology, and kids that were just interested in music and English majors, and it felt like there was a lot of kind of just blurring of boundaries that at a more traditional school might have formed social groups that, you know, were rigid. It felt like at Bard, people were more willing to just kind of, you know, live amongst each other and learn from one another, which was nice.
That is nice. And after Bard is when you started, graduated and started making music, producing albums, and putting together the band for touring, or did that band come from Bard, those members?
Right, yeah. So I made my first, the first Bellows album in 2011 while I was still going to Bard, and formed the live band, you know, with my friends at school. So at first we were just kind of a campus band, you know, and we would play shows on campus. But then when I graduated, I decided to start booking DIY tours, you know, meaning just tours where we would play in people's living rooms and, you know, just small bars across the country, just sort of cutting our teeth and trying to create an audience through just traveling to different cities and meeting local bands. So our first tour was in 2012 after I graduated, and we've been doing it pretty much nonstop since 2012.
And that's pretty exciting. And of course, there'll be links in this interview to Bandcamp and everything else you're doing. So the band is still touring. Is that what you guys are doing now? Is that what Bellows is doing now?
Yeah, we actually, we just got home from the first tour we've done on this new record this week. We toured down to South by Southwest the music festival.
So what happens next?
Yeah, we still tour pretty regularly. We're planning a full U.S. tour for this July. We tend to spend, maybe half the year on tour. It's still the way I make a living, though modestly.
So, yeah, let me ask you a little bit about that, because I always ask artists about funding and how everything's funded. You're able to make a modest living just through touring and sales of the album?
Yeah, so I'm in a couple bands, between the touring that I do, between the three or four bands that I'm in, I've been managing to scrape by. Every so often, if we have, maybe 3 or 4 months off touring, I'll get a day job or work as an assistant to an artist, or make money in some other way. But the more regularly we tour, the more I'm able to kind of make ends meet. It's only when we take off a few months from tour that I need to get day jobs.
Right. Well, Oliver, it's exciting to hear this record. Before we go, and listeners, of course, have already heard a few tracks, but hopefully they'll go to Bandcamp as well and get it. There's also a vinyl you're selling on Bandcamp, right? So call it Vinyl of Past Albums as well?
Right, yeah. So we have the last three Bellows albums have all been released on vinyl, and they're all for sale on my Bandcamp.
And let me ask you the last question, which is, what are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious, especially since you were an English major at Bard.
Oh, yeah, I just started a novel called Orfeo by Richard Powers. It's about a classical composer who buries a beloved dog. I'm only about 60 pages in, so that's all I know at the moment. But I love the writing style. It has this kind of energy to it that feels fresh.
Yeah, that sounds good. I haven't read that. And were you always reading in high school? Was this something you've always had a voracious appetite, or did Bard cultivate that more, or post-Bard?
Yeah, I think it started in high school. I took a class on Dostoevsky in high school, and I think that kind of created an itch to always be, reading new novels. I've been a reader for a while.
Oliver, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today, and wish you well with your new album, The Rose Gardener.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.